Department, Forestman Police Department!
The car is missing.
Oh no!
Yes.
I didn't kill him though, I didn't do nothing like that. I'm not a killer, I'm so far from a killer out there. I'm just a drug addict, that's it.
We had a young man across the street from us that lives in a duplex, and there is an elderly man that lives next door to him. He has not seen him in 2 days, and his car is not there. And the man that lives there that he's concerned about, his name is Bill Dubois.
This call was received on July 11th, 2019, to report retired teacher and Army veteran William Bill Dubois missing. He and his red 2013 Ford Focus had been MIA for 2 days. Officers quickly arrived at Bill's home in Fort Smith, Arkansas. They first spoke with Bill's neighbor, who lives in the other apartment of the duplex.
Hello.
Hi.
Good. Him? He's not answering?
Not answering, but I was laying in my bed the other night. Uh-huh. And I can't remember what time it was. I heard something fall.
Does he have a car?
Yeah, a car, but
where's his car?
His car's been gone for 2-3 days.
Well, maybe he's gone. Okay.
He would told us.
Okay.
You would told us.
Okay. What kind of car does he drive?
He drives a Ford.
Do you know what position his bedroom is at?
Back that way.
Okay. I'll come back and talk to you in just a second, okay?
After knocking on Bill's door and getting no response, they tried to look through the side window. While by the window, they noticed something peculiar.
I'm getting it. Everything's out right here. I know that smell.
The smell of decomposition was coming through the air conditioning unit, and with that, the concern for Bill's well-being instantly increased. The front and back door were locked, leaving police with no access to the unit. And from what they could tell, there were no apparent signs of a forced entry. At this point, the officer's main objective was to contact Bill to assure his safety. So, they went back to the neighbor to ask if he had Bill's contact information.
Can we see if we have a possible number for the subject I'm trying to locate?
Try
to make contact. Okay, I'm just going to get your information. Do you have his cell phone number?
I thought I did have.
What's his name?
Bill. That's all I know is Bill. That's all I call him.
You said Dubois. The call note said Dubois.
It might be that they know him better than I do.
Oh, they do?
He goes over there and talks to them all the time and find out.
Bill would sometimes go to the store across the street and speak with the women who worked there. So that was the next logical destination.
Yeah, it's hot, so.
Yes, it's hot.
Okay, so the neighbor over there says that man sometimes comes over and talks with y'all?
Yes, ma'am.
Is it a regular thing that he comes over?
Well, not a regular thing, but we chase with us.
Yeah. When's the last time you saw him or his car?
That's what she just said. I've not seen it probably 2 days, but
that's what he's saying.
I'm not sure when the last time that I've not seen it 2 days, but it has not been there.
There's some cause for concern.
After speaking with the ladies, the officers contacted Bill's property manager, who had a key and was able to let them into the residence. Inside, the smell of decomposition was much stronger. The apartment had been ransacked, and his valuables, including 2 sets of TVs, his gold lieutenant bar, wallet, and other items were missing.
And there's no TV in the living room. All the cable boxes, there's no TV.
Maybe his door was unlocked.
Bill's dead body was discovered lying on the floor in the bathroom. Strangely, officers noticed blood spatter on the walls outside of that room.
Is that splatter on the doorframe?
What?
Is that splatter on the doorframe?
Yes, splatter.
Okay.
There's scar right there.
Oh, wow.
First responders examined Bill's body and determined that he had died by severe blunt force trauma to the head, with at least 27 points of impact. Inside his hands were clumps of human hair. The blood around his body was swabbed, and the hair on his hands was collected for DNA testing. Bill's body was sent to an Arkansas State crime lab for an autopsy to be completed. At this point, Bill's son, Andy Dubois, arrived on the scene to speak with the authorities.
That's his son. That's his son. That's his son.
Strokes and everything.
10-4.
There's
every
little,
unit out here.
Black box in the tractor. Yeah.
To provide important context, Andy's mother, Susan DuBois, had been married to Bill for 44 years. The couple lived in separate homes, but continued to support each other. Part of this support included taking care of Bill after a recent stroke that limited his cognitive function. As a result of this, Bill began showing signs of confusion while driving. So, to prevent him from getting lost, Susan planted a tracking device in his car and was able to locate his vehicle remotely. This was pivotal to the investigation, and authorities wasted no time in asking Susan to help track Bill.
Hi, Miss Susan. I'm Officer Hendricks. I'm sorry meeting you under these circumstances.
I know you. You
know me?
I've seen you at Northside Games.
I have been there. I can tell by the way you're acting that you've already been notified, okay? First of all, we're very sorry for your loss, okay? You want to sit down for a minute?
No, I'm fine. Okay.
It might be better on your legs.
Yeah.
Just experiencing that.
We don't want to leave any stone unturned. Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay. I'm a retired nurse, so.
Okay.
He had a heart condition and strokes.
And he could have fell and hit his head, but there's some blood there that we're concerned about. Does that make sense?
He probably fell.
Okay.
He was acting so strange Saturday.
He was acting strange Saturday? Okay. Here's our biggest issue we have right now. The car is missing.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Yep. Where's your tracker?
Do you have a tracker on that car?
Yes.
Okay.
Her phone, right here. I believe that needs your fingerprint.
Florida Station, East Meet 2, next up records to the location.
Off Kelly Highway.
Yep. That's it.
Parked at a house.
Susan just handed the officers her cell phone with a map that indicated exactly where Bill's Ford Focus was now parked. So, detectives immediately kicked into overdrive and rushed to this location. While on their way, another officer reviewed the vehicle's navigation history. This history told investigators that the car left Bill's residence around 4:30 a.m. on Wednesday morning, traveling at 93 miles per hour. Whoever took it had driven all over Fort Smith and even towards Clarksville, which was nearly an hour away. But they made their way back to Fort Smith, and the vehicle was now located at the 4400 block of Armour Street, about 10 minutes away from Bill's house. This address is a common dwelling residence that consists of multiple tenants. It is well known to locals as a trap house where drugs and other types of trafficking take place. Police were once again in an immediate pursuit to track down the car. Upon arrival, they instantly spotted Bill's red Ford Focus. They now knew that they were in the right place, so they started questioning some residents. Right away, they were advised that the person in possession of Bill's car was 21-year-old mother of two, Taylor Elkins. Taylor was inside the trap house, so she was quickly apprehended and placed in the back of the cop car.
How many of y'all know this girl's in my car?
I've never.
Hey, what date of birth did you get for the Taylor Elkins? Tivor, it's a female. I got the DL number for you.
Law enforcement did a background check on Taylor, and it turns out she had a long list of petty misdemeanors, but no history of violence. Officers attempted to hold an informal interview on the scene, but Taylor was difficult to talk to. It was later confirmed that Taylor was high on multiple substances during this interview.
Where'd you get the car?
No, I already told him.
It's a friend.
A friend let me park. There's Sean Reynolds.
White or black?
Where'd you put the keys to the car?
I told him.
Well, you told him, not me.
Oh my goodness, I just told him when I was going back to South where I was trying to leave.
Okay.
So I was trying to leave, but
apparently the keys had fallen out of Taylor's pocket, so the police entered the house to look for them.
Clear over there.
Oh, you got it.
Yep. Not in the couch, but bedroom to your left.
Police department!
Considering the violent nature of Bill's death, officers were extremely cautious, thoroughly clearing the house of any threats while searching for the keys.
Right here, got a door to our left.
Perfect.
Ready?
Police department, Forsman Police Department! When we find you, show us your hand!
Anybody here? Come out, show me your hands! Forsman Police!
Last opportunity.
Eventually, the keys were found and Bill's vehicle was searched. It was then transported to the police department for evidence. Taylor was arrested and charged for theft by receiving. She was held at the Sebastian County Detention Center. On July 15, 2019, Taylor was brought into the interrogation room for questioning, led by Detective Jeff Taylor, who we'll call Detective Jeff to avoid confusion.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. You want to go?
son in jail?
Well, I'm sure I was at. How you feeling? You got a tissue? Just by seeing your reaction right now makes me know that you're a decent person. You have a heart. You have a soul and you're hurting right now. And that's obvious and it's understandable. You're a young girl. You're 21 years old, fixing to turn 22. Now look at you sitting here. I've got a daughter that's 21. She'll be 22 at the end of this month, so you guys are almost the same age.
After showing some sympathy, Taylor begins to calm down, making it easier to ask the harder questions.
How did you get his car? You told me he gave you his car?
He let me borrow it.
At what time did he let you borrow it?
I borrowed on Monday. They gave me keys on Tuesday.
Taylor then divulged Sean's address. But when police inquired with the building manager at that location, they said that they did not have a tenant under that name. Detective Jeff then quickly confronted her.
For one time, let's wipe everything clear. Let's wipe everything clear that you told us in the past, okay? Let's start over. The lies of who you got the car for, let's put that behind us, okay? We've already proved that didn't happen that way. Let's just wipe your slate clean. And for one time, do the right thing and tell us what you want to tell us. Tell us what you really know. So then do me a favor. Let's start from that early that Tuesday evening when all this started. Where'd you go?
Casino.
And what'd you do as soon as you got to the casino?
Play.
What else did you do at the casino?
I guess.
What else did you do?
I was in last night.
She stated that she had gone to the casino on Tuesday evening and met a man named Joe. Joe was apparently desperate for cash, so the two decided that they would rob Bill. They then went to Bill's residence and Joe knocked on the door. As soon as the door opened, Joe rushed inside and pulled the door closed behind him, preventing Taylor from entering. Taylor then left Bill's house and waited at a local McDonald's. When she returned, Joe had already loaded two of Bill's TVs into Bill's vehicle. They then drove to a nearby pawn shop where Joe pawned the TVs for cash.
Because Joe, you think Joe's going to put this back on you again?
Of course. It's okay.
Why is it okay?
Because I know I didn't do it. Go ask Joe where he was. So I didn't kill him.
At this point, Taylor refused to elaborate and became less and less responsive. She then asked the detectives if she could speak to her mother, to which they agreed. After a short conversation with her mom, Taylor became emotional and seemingly more transparent with the detectives.
So now what I would like to ask you for you to tell us the truth.
The truth? I mean, I told y'all the truth today, but I didn't tell y'all all of it, but I told y'all the truth.
Just start from the beginning. Whatever you told us in the past, we're not going to even bring it up. But just tell us from the beginning what happened and exactly the truth the way it happened, okay?
Joe came over that night. I told him where he lived. And he asked me what he had in the house. And I told him that he didn't have shit. Like, he didn't have nothing to even do anything with. He's like, will you knock on the door? I knocked on the door. And then he went in, I left. That's when I went to McDonald's. And I came back. He told me he took care of it. And I didn't kill him, though. I didn't do nothing like that.
When he said he took care of it.
He told me that at the casino because I kept asking what happened. I kept asking him what happened. He kept telling me that he took care of it, that it's okay, that he just kept telling me that he's like, to get rid of the TVs, blah, blah, blah. He said, I'm not touching them. And that's when I had Pete pawn them. Like, I didn't know. If I knew all that, I wouldn't have took his car. Believe me, if I knew he was dead like that, where he was like,
I understand that you're scared, okay? I'm not dealing with what you're having to deal with, but I can understand that it's got to be hard.
I did not kill that man. I'm not a killer. I'm so far from a killer out there. I'm just a drug addict. That's it.
Did Joe have any blood or anything on him?
Not that I wasn't looking for that. I was really actually scared of anything. I mean, it was dark. He had dark clothes on.
What was his demeanor like? How was he acting?
Like a man, like just bossy. Like, hurry up, just put it in the car. Like, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just bossy, just mean.
Why would he be saying put it in the car? Did you help get the TVs in the car?
No, I get out there on the gate. I'm like, what's in the car?
Where can we find Joe right now?
At that trailer.
At that trailer?
Unlike Sean, Joe happened to be a real person. Following this interrogation, he was successfully located and arrested on a drug charge. Joe claimed that he didn't know a Bill Du Bois, nor did he ever go near his residence. However, he was able to provide some crucial information to help the investigation.
Can you take your cuffs off, mister? How's that wrist? All right, so tell me about Taylor Elkins. How do you know her?
Oh, from the casino.
From the casino?
Mm-hmm.
Which one?
The Pecola.
Pecola? Okay. How long have you known her?
6 months.
6 months? Mm-hmm. And you met her at the casino?
You know, I did meet her. That's for 10 minutes.
Okay.
According to Joe, the last time he saw Taylor was Wednesday night at the casino.
Where did y'all meet up at?
Casino. She had two TVs in her rental car trying to sell them.
So why is she trying to get rid of her TVs?
She had to pay rent. Rent or electric or something.
So she talked to you about pawning some TVs.
Yes, sir.
Apparently, Joe knew a friend named Pete who was willing to pawn the TV for them. Police had access to a database that tracked local pawn shop activity. Using this system, they were able to locate Pete, the TVs, and the name of the pawn shop. Officers visited this pawn shop and gained access to the surveillance footage. They were able to confirm that it was in fact Pete who pawned the two TVs. Pete was initially reluctant to speak with the authorities as he was afraid of being charged for pawning stolen items. But under the pressure of the interrogation room, he seemed more than ready to cooperate.
You're Peter?
Yes, sir.
Peter, I'm Detective Taylor.
I'm gonna
ask you some questions here in a second. We'll show you something right here. It's a pawn ticket from Midland Pawn this week.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Where you pawned a couple of TVs.
Yes, sir.
Pete told the detectives that he first met Taylor on Thursday morning when he pawned the TVs for her.
Where did you get those TVs at?
I got those TVs from a girl named Taylor Elkins.
Okay. How do you know Taylor?
I just knew her as a mutual friend of us. And she told me she didn't have an ID or something and that they weren't stolen or anything like that. And she told me to go pawn.
Okay.
So I did.
Both Joe and Pete claimed that they were unaware that the TVs were stolen. Joe merely wanted to help a friend, while Pete was hoping to make a quick buck. To prove that they weren't complicit in the robbery, detectives went through Joe and Pete's phones. According to their GPS data, neither of them were near Bill's apartment at the estimated time of the crime. This meant that Taylor was the only one near Bill's home around the time of the murder. Except, there was one more person right next door.
I can't remember what time it was. I heard something.
Remember Bill's neighbor who heard the strange noise? While investigators were looking into Taylor's records, they discovered that she had previously lived at the same address as this man. As it turns out, he is Taylor's grandfather. Upon this new discovery, Taylor's grandfather became a key witness in the case and was brought in for questioning.
Well, let me ask you a few questions this morning. See if maybe you can help us out a little bit. Let's talk about your granddaughter, Taylor.
Okay, what about it?
What kind of relationship or involvement with Bill does she have?
Bill?
Your dead neighbor.
Something like that, or maybe use his phone or something. I don't know.
Okay, so let's go back to Tuesday, because, you know, you heard the noise Tuesday night. Was she at your house late Tuesday?
Yeah.
And did she leave from there, or did you go to bed and she was still there?
When I went to bed, she was laying in the front room on my client, covered up with a quilt.
Mm-hmm.
He recounted waking up from a loud noise and lying awake, listening for anything else. Eventually, he fell back asleep. He woke up early the next morning, and Taylor had already left.
So she was gone, and Bill's car was gone?
His car, when I looked out the window, it was gone.
She was gone and it was gone.
It was gone.
Authorities wanted to ensure that Taylor's grandfather wasn't lying to protect her, so they requested a polygraph test. He refused to take this test and instead told them that their theory was correct. He was just trying to protect Taylor. He confessed that not only did Taylor return to his apartment that night, she also immediately changed out of her clothes and hid them. He then agreed to a search of his apartment and to assist in locating the hidden clothes. The clothes were found in a pile of laundry and had blood stains on them. They were gathered and sent to the crime lab for further analysis. While investigators awaited the results, Taylor was subjected to a polygraph test herself. Unfortunately, there is no footage of this test publicly available. However, the moment when she is delivered her results was captured clear as day.
Oh. Test results are not good. You were showing deception.
Deception?
Mm-hmm. Deception means that you're trying to deceive. You're not being truthful.
I am.
I brought this in here to show you. You see that question that says R5?
Mm-hmm.
And that big spike on it?
Mm-hmm. What does it mean?
It means you were lying.
About what?
R5 was when I asked you, were you present when he was attacked? You were lying to me when I asked you in the test, were you present when he was attacked?
Not when he was killed. But attacked, maybe, not killed.
Then why would it show that you were showing deception on that one, too?
I don't know about that one.
Because the reading, I'm going to show you in just a second. When I ask you, did you kill him? Your reading is stronger than that. I had to turn the sensitivity down to keep it on the chart.
Here's your opportunity. You got to complete. This is going to send you to prison.
Despite the horrendous polygraph test results, Taylor held her ground, changing her story multiple times along the way. Detective Jeff confronted her about it, but became frustrated when she responded with attitude.
Okay. Of course, all along you realize you told me you didn't do that. First you said your grandpa put the TVs in the car.
Well,
then you said,
well,
I know, but I still got
to
cover all this. Do you not understand that? Okay, I still got to cover this. There's no reason to be argumentative with me. I'm trying to clarify right now.
No, you're not. You're trying to accuse.
No, I'm not. Well, there's nothing to accuse. You're already in jail.
Oh, really? But who ain't?
Okay. Okay. Did you not tell me in our first interview you went back the next morning to try to take him to work?
But I didn't. I got high and stayed gone all day.
Okay, but you told me you did, so you didn't?
Oh, my God.
I have to start clarifying.
Because you're just,
you know,
nerves right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in the mood today.
I've had... Well, I really don't give a shit if you're in the mood or not.
Of course you don't.
All right?
You're a rude person.
I'm not a rude person.
Yes, you are.
You're a rude, cold, heartless murderer.
No,
that's
I'm
what
not.
You are.
No, I'm not.
Look at you. You have no defense for yourself.
I'm not, though.
You killed that old man, and you're proud of it, and I'm going to show this to the juror, and they're going to put you in prison for the rest of your life.
Well,
if you don't get the death penalty.
You're screaming at me. Like, you're screaming at me. You're
I am. You know what? Because you're a murderer.
No, I'm not.
100%.
No, I'm not. 100%. No, I'm not.
You think this is a game?
No, I'm just getting annoyed.
Well, I'm getting annoyed, too. I'm getting annoyed that this old man is dead and you're responsible for it. That's
I'm
what
not
annoys
responsible
me.
For it.
You're 100%. You set it up. You're the one that said, let's go rob him. You just told us that.
Set up a fucking
You just told us that. He died because of your plan. Guess what that puts on you? You want to take a guess that you're so damn smart? Huh? It puts murder on you.
Okay, well, I didn't kill nobody, so...
You did.
Anyways,
you did.
Following this blow-up, Taylor stuck to her story, continuing to maintain her innocence. She was ultimately escorted back to her cell, where she remained until her court proceedings. In the following days, Taylor's fellow inmate contacted the Fort Smith Police Department with some intriguing information.
So, let's start from the beginning. I mean, tell me what she's told you about how all this started.
It started out as a robbery gone wrong. She had dealt with him before, but it was never for pills. He didn't even have pills. It was for money. She was high. She said that she went over there with just intentions of robbing. He was in his underwear because he's getting ready to go to bed. And she was asking him for money, and he didn't have any. He was going to bed, and he had to do the next day. And she got mad, and she hit him with the hammer 36 times.
This statement seemed to be the nail in the coffin for Taylor. However, because it came from another inmate, detectives were uncertain about its credibility. At this point, the crime lab had finally wrapped up their forensic analysis. They confirmed that the blood on Taylor's clothes belonged to Bill, and the hair taken from Bill's hand matched Taylor's DNA. Despite the absence of a murder weapon, the blood found on Taylor's clothes provided sufficient physical evidence to conclude that Taylor was responsible for Bill's death. On October 9th, 2019, Taylor Elkins was charged with the first-degree murder of William Bill DuBois.
Now police say Taylor Elkins is the person responsible for William DuBois' murder. Elkins previously faced charges of hindering apprehension and theft by receiving when police say they found her with DuBois' car. While Susan says she's glad this day has finally come, the months she spent waiting for answers made this process even more difficult.
Rather than pursuing the death penalty, state prosecutor Dan Hsu asked Bill's wife, Susan DuBois, if she was open to the idea of offering Taylor a plea deal. Surprisingly, Susan wholeheartedly supported this option. Taylor later agreed to the deal in order to avoid going to trial. She confessed to the police that it was her plan to rob Bill, but it was not her plan to kill Bill. She went to his apartment unaccompanied on the night of Tuesday, July 9th, and after she discovered that Bill was not carrying any cash, she, quote, knocked him on the head with a hammer. As a result of her plea deal, Taylor was spared the death penalty, and on January 15th, 2020, she was sentenced to 40 years in prison. She will be eligible for parole after 28 years.
William DuBois Jr.'s wife says in court, Taylor Elkins never apologized and she never said why she killed the 72-year-old. But despite all that, his wife says she's okay with the plea deal. 21-year-old Taylor Elkins will have to serve at least 70% of her 40-year sentence, which equals 28 years until she'll be eligible for parole. 72-year-old William DuBois Jr. worked as a teacher in Fort Smith for more than 40 years. In July, he was found dead inside his Fort Smith duplex. Family members say he was hit in the head with a hammer. Elkins was staying with her grandfather right next to DuBois Jr. when the murder happened. She had his car when police found her. Today, she pleaded guilty to first-degree murder.
Since Bill was an Army veteran, he was honored with a town-wide funeral and was laid to rest in the National Cemetery in Fort Smith. Taylor Elkins is currently serving her sentence at the McPherson Women's Unit in Newport, Arkansas.